Revelation chapter 21. You know, there's a lot in this passage of Scripture you could preach from. You talk about the reality of heaven and hell, couldn't you? So I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And verse 8 talks about those that were cast into the lake which burneth with fire. There's a real heaven and there's a real hell. We could talk about that tonight. We talk about verse 4. It says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. How many of you have heard it said there's no tears in heaven? And what's God wiping away? That's not until the New Jerusalem comes down. That's not until 1,000 years after the tribulation period, at least. We got a long time before there's no tears. I can't imagine how those in heaven, the Bible says, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I can't imagine how they're looking at this world and not shedding a tear from time to time as they pray for us and intercede on our behalf, as they see the wickedness that abounds. I'm sure there's a few tears. We're just thankful to know that God will wipe them away. Amen. Can you imagine the time we were talking about in Revelation chapter 21? We just follows right after Revelation chapter 20. And the Bible says in verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Do you know why there's tears now? All of the human race has now stood before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, I've thought about that a lot of times. I thought there's a lot of wicked people out there, and I'd wonder, why would they ever humble themselves and submit themselves to the authority of Jesus Christ? I believe a lot of them will bow their knee just begging for mercy for their life. They see that lake of fire. They see the devil and the false prophet that have already been cast in, and so they bow their knee before the Lord Jesus Christ, and they just plead and beg, and they recognize that He is, in fact, Lord and Savior. But it's too late. They're not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe with all my heart that this will be the most difficult day in history. As we stand before God and we see thousands upon millions of people cast in the lake of fire for just the simple sin of unbelief. They didn't trust Christ. You know, some of our loved ones will be in that number, won't they? So thankfully, God comes along in Revelation chapter 21, and after all this scene unfolds, He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, our God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 5 is our focus tonight. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Our title tonight of our message is, behold, I make all things new. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, to understand the Scripture as You have written it. Let's not read anything into it. Let's just take it at face value. Lord, we often talk about heaven and we look forward to that new Jerusalem. We look forward to that day where there's no more sorrow or death or crying. But Lord, there's a lot of sorrow and pain before we get there. And we're thankful for the promise that God shall wipe away all tears. Father, help us tonight as we look at this phrase, behold, I make all things new. Father, fill me with Thy Spirit. I need Your help. Speak to our hearts with that same Holy Spirit. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can imagine the scene that those that are standing there, and by the way, I believe that we're in that number, amen? You'll notice in chapter 20 that the books were opened. All humanity will be standing before God at this moment. And it's that crossroads or that pinnacle of time where we just come to the very end of that final decision. The Bible says that the books are open, and those that were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they'll be judged from the Book of Works, and their works will be found unworthy. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. After that, everyone that we ever knew not to be saved is gone, eternally separated from us. And it's almost, you know, God has perfect timing. And the very next verse, he unfolds heaven to us. Eternity. That place that we will have for all eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. I believe this is it right here. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And in verse 5, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 3, he must be born again. I think of that phrase, born again, I think of being made anew, don't you? Something that is fresh, something that is new, something that is just born. Pastor Walsh had been calling me this afternoon and texting me back and forth, and he said, I don't want you to make a big a deal about this, but I said, what do you think people are going to think when you're not here tonight, brother? And he says, okay, tell them. They're at the hospital right now. Contractions are just 3 minutes apart. At least that was at 6 o'clock. Now, he's hoping the baby comes by midnight, because if he does, he gets all his stuff for free from the baby registry. But we just need to pray for them, don't we? But when we see that newborn baby, Harmony, I've been telling him you're going to have a little baby boy and you name him Al, but when we see Harmony, we think new, don't we? We think fresh. We think, how many of you think of sin when you look at that new baby? No. We don't think of that, do we? This is the farthest thing from our mind. We count 10 fingers and 10 toes and we think, perfect. It's not till they hit about 2 that we think anything different. But the Bible says you must be born again, and that talks about freshness and newness in our lives. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, that we are to walk in the newness of life. It talks about fresh and new. The Bible says in Romans 7, verse 6, that we have the newness of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, all things are become new. Galatians 6, 15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20 said, Jesus Christ has revealed to us a new and a living way. I'm so glad that I was a new creature in Christ when I got saved. But I think of that as being a new creature in Christ, and I look in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5, and I think, if that's the case, and all the sinners that were unsaved, did not believe in Christ, have been now cast in the lake of fire, why does Christ still think he needs to make things new? Because as long as I'm in this flesh, no matter how much I claim I'm a new creature, I'm still sinful flesh. And there comes a time where the Lord Jesus Christ will get rid of all of that. He'll put an end to it. And the Bible says in verse 3 that God is about to live with man. He says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now look at that next verse. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Now look at that next phrase. For the former things are passed away. I want you to think about, first of all, tonight, the need of this statement. Why would God need to make all things new? Why do we need this refreshment, if you will? Can you imagine living on this earth, and if Christ did not bring down a new Jerusalem, if he did not wipe all the tears from our eyes, if there was still death, if there's still sorrow, if there's still crying, who would want to live in a place like that? But God said, behold, I make all things new. I've got a theory tonight. I don't know if it's true, and if you want to argue with me and fight with me, that's fine. I'll back down. But I think that when God wipes away our tears, he must also wipe our memories. Because the Bible says he will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow. Just a few minutes earlier, we saw our loved ones cast in the lake of fire. We saw those that we tried to reach with the gospel, those that we tried to tell about Jesus Christ and say, there is a real heaven, there is a real hell, there is a God to answer to, and there is a judgment day coming. And yet they would not repent. And we just saw them cast in like, how could we live for all eternity with that thought in our heads? So I believe that when God wipes away the tears and takes away our sorrow, he must also take away the memory of those moments. Maybe not all the memories, and not everything that happened that was good in our life, but certainly he must erase those things that would cause us to sorrow. How many of you tonight are looking forward to heaven? I mean, we walk around this world and we just see pain and suffering, don't we? You know, I was reading in the news this week and listening to what's going on in Egypt. I think Israel's scared. I think they're afraid of a change of regime because they have a peace treaty with Egypt that has lasted for 3 decades now, and now all of a sudden they're afraid. There's a lot of unrest in our world today, and I'm so glad that when Jesus Christ comes, when God is about to dwell with man on earth for all eternity, he says, "Behold, I make all things new." You know, we live right now in the corruption of sin. We have seen the fall of man. This world was created as a new creation. And the Bible says God looked upon it and he said, "It is good." But it didn't last for long, did it? Eve took of the fruit. She gave it to her husband. And sin was born into the world. There's a great need today to see a renewal in this world. Man sinned and needed to be reconciled to God. You know, heaven is only because of reconciliation. It's only because of what Christ has done. Hell was because of the division that sin caused. You know that God never wanted to make a place called hell? It was prepared for the devil and his angels, the Bible says. And yet, because of sin and unbelief, many will spend eternity there. You know, but because Jesus Christ has reconciled us to the Father through his blood, we can realize this statement, one day it'll be better. One day it'll be new. I'm looking forward to that. You know, I read through verse 8, and I feel like I need a shower after I read it. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's what our world is faced with today. If it weren't for all of this going on, Jesus Christ would not have to have a war to end all wars. But one day he'll come as a conquering king. And the Bible says he'll put all this to rest to make all things new. You say, why are you telling us this, friend? I want to ask you tonight, are you ready for it? If Jesus Christ were to come, if we were to stand before God today, are you prepared to stand before God? Are you ready? Do you know Christ is your Savior? The Bible says all these wicked people that will be cast in the lake of fire, one of them is unbelieving. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior tonight? That's what it takes if you want to see the completion of this. I want you to notice not only do we see the need of this statement, I hope you understand it tonight. You understand why God needs to make things new, right? Do you know global warming is in the Bible? Did you know that? Right at the end in Revelation, the Bible says he will remake the earth with a fervent heat. That's global warming. Christ is coming and he's going to change this world. And he's going to make all things new. I hope you understand the need of that. I don't want to live in a world like this once we get to heaven. But we also see the completeness. He says, "Behold, I make all things new." Do you know that when you got saved, Christ did more than just cleanse your sin? He made you new. He made you born again. He made you a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You know, you need to understand something here tonight. We're kind of like Abraham of old. We're just sojourners. We're just passing through. How many of you know that song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." We're looking forward to a better day. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Behold, I make all things new." Listen, I hope you understand, when you got saved, you didn't just buy life insurance. You weren't just getting Jesus Christ into your life so that he might take you to heaven one day when you die. That's a wonderful thing. But friend, you need to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to change your life from within. He wants to make you a new creature. You're not a citizen of this world anymore. Now, we are just here and we're just passing through, and we have to obey the laws of the land, and we have to understand that we are here as long as God keeps us here, and we have a mission to perform. But friend, we need to have our eyes set on things above. We need to start thinking heavenly, as if we are going to another place, as if we are just passing through. God wants you to understand tonight that he has done this for your benefit, that all things will become new. Do you know that your walk with God reveals how much you've allowed Christ to change you? Think about that. You say, well, you know, I'm a new creature in Christ. That ought to come out in your walk. People ought to see the difference. They ought to know that you're a new creature in Christ. Today, one of the workers for our special people was going out, and I looked at her. I thought, I know this girl from somewhere. Where do I know her from? And I thought, I know. I went to school with her. And so she was coming by, and I said, let me ask you something. I said, you look familiar to me. I said, did we go to school together? And she says, I don't know. She said, what's your name? And I told her my name. She didn't remember. I should have said Wade, then she'd remembered. And I said, I think your name is Corrine. She says, it is. And did you go to school in Port Dover? She said, yeah. And I said, well, I went to PDCS. And she says, no, I never went there. I only went to 8th grade. And I said, well, I went to Doverwood. And she says, well, I went to Doverwood. And I said, I'm 38 years old. I'll be 39. She says, I'm the same age. So we went to school together. And she got thinking about it. And we were talking for a second. She says, I remember you. She says, boy, you've changed. I don't know how bad I was then, but that's a compliment. We ought to be different. Our walk shows, you know, you didn't expect any preacher to come out of Doverwood. Well, praise God, that's what God can do. We are to be new creatures in Christ. He wants to change everything in your life. He wants to make you new. I'm going to share with you some night. If I can, I might get him to do it. Brother Post wrote out his testimony of what God's been doing in his life. It's an amazing story. How long have you not smoked now, brother? 13 weeks? 13 weeks he hasn't taken a cigarette. God has changed his life. Man, we're seeing him, Brother Wood. Isn't it good to have him in Awanus? Amen. He's getting involved. And he said, I'm not doing that to brag on him. I'm telling you that God did that. God changed his life. And he wants to do the same for you. He wants to make all things new. He said, behold, I make all things new. Listen, a lot of you are just fooling people. But you can't fool God. You've just stepped over the threshold of salvation. You've just kind of stayed right along the edges, and you're sitting way up high in the bleachers. Friends, you need to get in the game. Get involved. Let God work in your life. Take a deep drink of that living water. Let God work in your life. He says, I want to make all things new. And here's really the point I want to make to you tonight. Look what the scripture says. Let me read it again. I want to make sure you get the sequence of this. I'm going to come down so you can focus on this. Listen to what it says. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I want you to picture this tonight. I believe this is what God is trying to speak to us or say to us tonight. We've just come through maybe the very worst moment in history, humanly speaking, as countless millions are cast in the lake of fire. We all stand before the throne of God and we're weeping And we're wailing and we're realizing the lost opportunities. We understand that there's some that were just cast in the lake of fire because we never told them. We never warned them. Some were there that we had warned many times, and we brought them to church and we shared the gospel with them, and they just never relented. They never asked Christ to save them. And so we must say goodbye as they too are cast in the lake of fire. The next moment, the Bible says, a new heaven and a new earth began to descend. Now think about that. These countless millions of people are standing there with John, and he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, I want you to think about it. For several minutes or several hours, I don't know how long it'll take, as the names are written out of the book of read out of the book of life, and those that were not found there are now cast like a fire. Every eye is watching. And then their attention is turned as this new Jerusalem begins to descend from God. And the Bible says, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So the comparison is made as the new Jerusalem is coming down. It's just like a bride coming down the aisle. Everybody, what happens when the bride comes? Nobody cares about the guy. Amen? Everybody looks at the bride. Everybody stands and they turn. The music changes, doesn't it? For the guys, it's this little flighty stuff, and it's just everybody's getting in their place, and then, boom, 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 here comes the bride. I mean, she gets all the attention, doesn't she? And that's what the Bible says it'll be like when the New Jerusalem's coming. She'd be like a bride prepared for her bridegroom. And here comes, and every eye, can you imagine? Every eye is going to be looking there, aren't they? Don't you think you will be? And it says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard this great voice out of heaven saying, so as the New Jerusalem is descending from God, there's a voice that says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. I don't know how loud it's going to be. You think I'm loud, but millions of people got to hear it. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God is going to dwell. The great announcement is made that this is the day. God will now walk among you. God will now dwell with you, not just in spirit, but physically. You can go and just talk to him like a brother. So every eye is affixed on this new Jerusalem, like a bride adorned for her bridegroom. And you hear the voice out of heaven. And people are still in their minds, they're still weeping and sorrowing over those that have been just cast in the lake of fire. And while they're looking up into the heaven, I believe God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. How does he do it? Does he come around physically? I don't know. But I think he just redirects their attention to that new Jerusalem. And the moment of their faith has just become sight. They've realized what they've been waiting for. They realize, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. They realize I'll fly away, whole glory. They realize this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And all those things that they thought about and sang about for centuries and for thousands of years, all the saints will have it realized that moment. But I want you to notice something very important. God is wiping away the tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, verse 4. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be more pain, for the former things are passed away. But then there's somebody sitting on a throne. And the Bible says, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Here's what I think is happening. Just by reading the scripture, all of mankind has just seen the lake of fire and what happens there. All the saved of all eternity is looking up, and they see that new Jerusalem coming down just like a bride, and everybody's focused upon it. And then there's Jesus over on his throne saying, behold, I make all things new. You know what that word mean, behold means? It means look. Take a look. In other words, you're so focused on that. Behold, I'm the one that did it. I'm the one that makes things new. I'm the one that prepared all this. Why not have a look at me? You know, sometimes we get so excited about heaven We get so excited about our heavenly home. We get so excited about our mansion. We get so excited about all the things. And that's good. That's a wonderful thing. And I like that song, I've Got a Mansion Over the Hilltop. I like singing about heaven. I like singing that song, There's Coming a Day When No Heartache Shall Come. But friends, we need to understand that Christ is the one we've come to see. On that day, as that city is descending from heavens, Christ says, Behold I. Behold I. Look at me. I'm the one that made all this possible. I'm the one that made all things new. I'm the one that saved your soul. I'm the one that's prepared this place. Why don't you look at me? Anytime I hear Sue Parkin, Susan Pipe, sing, I always ask her if she'll sing that song, I'd Still Want to Go. She sang it at our banquet just a little while ago. If there were no mansions on the hills of glory, if there were no streets of gold, no crystal river, and it goes all through all the things of heaven we're looking for. He says, and the song says, I'd still want to go. Just as long as his face I see. You know, we can get so caught up in heaven, but listen, heaven is just a side blessing. That's just something that God has prepared for the faithful. Listen, we ought to look forward to Jesus Christ. Can I tell you tonight where the charismatics get all mixed up? They're so busy looking for the gifts, they forget about the giver of the gifts. That's the problem. Those gifts are given that we might serve him better. And they're saying, I want to talk in tongues. I want to prophesy. Christ says, I want you to look at me. That's what this is all about. Those gifts are to remind you that you have a Savior. Listen, what would heaven be without Christ? It'd just be another place, wouldn't it? Next week, we're going to have to put up with all those people on the cruise coming home. And they're going to say, oh man, you won't believe the beauty. Man, they said, we looked down in the water and we could see clear to the bottom. It was so clean. I had to hear all about Jamaica this morning. Amen. Mrs. Ronson said, what happened in Jamaica stays in Jamaica. I don't know what that means. You can ask them. Amen. Wherever she goes, there's trouble. Isn't that right, Brother Ronson? Yeah. But you know, we go to play, we hear from places like that. Somebody comes back from Hawaii. We're going to have to hear about the Caribbean next week from all these folks that went down there and how beautiful and gorgeous. And by the way, God has some great creations. I got to go snowmobiling last week with Brother Vogel and his family and Brother Leroy. We saw some neat things, didn't we? We saw those deers kicking up the snow as they ran across the field. And we saw some of God's greatest creation right here in Ontario, covered in snow, but we saw it. It was gorgeous out there. It was a great day. But it just pales in comparison, doesn't it? You know, God created that stuff just as sure as he created heaven. And he can make it just as beautiful in Hawaii as he can in heaven. I don't know that it'll be any more gorgeous than what he's done for us already. But we're not there for all that. We're there to see Jesus. That's where our focus is. I want you to think tonight as we consider all these things. You know, I got thinking one time that sometimes a lot of our hymn book's kind of selfish. You ever notice that? I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. Is it about you? I've got this. This world's not my home. It's all about us sometimes. What about amazing grace? How great thou art. That's really what, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with singing songs that strengthen us and help us and teach us. But friends, our focus ought to be on Jesus Christ. I almost find this statement a little sad, that everybody's looking up here and Christ says, behold, you need to look over here. I'm the one that did all this. May we be reminded tonight that Christ ought to be the central thing in our lives, that we ought to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He didn't just save you, he's going to take you right through to the end. Remember what we talked about this morning? He that began a good work in you will be faithful to the end, to the coming of Christ. Listen, the Bible says, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are faithful and true. And here's what he says. When Christ says, behold, and everybody turns their eyes and they look at Jesus Christ, here's what he says. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Boy, that'll make you forget about your mansion real quick, won't it? I'll close with this. I heard an evangelist by the name of Steve Allen. I don't know if I've told you this before or not. Steve Allen was an evangelist who was born blind. He never saw a thing in this life. He said, one of the most wonderful privileges I have of being born blind is the first thing I'll ever see is Jesus. It's the first thing I'll ever see. And he said, you know, he says, I've had this thought about my heavenly mansion. He says, I've decided that if you need more room, you can go ahead and have mine. He says, you know, there's no need for walls there because walls are for privacy. He says, we're not going to be sinning in heaven. He says, you really won't need a door on my mansion. He says, because, he says, that's to keep the thieves open. There's no thieves in heaven. He says, I won't need a roof because that's to keep the snow and the rain off my head, but there's none of that in heaven either. And he says, you might as well put a vacancy sign on anyway. He says, I won't be home. I'll be down at the throne. In other words, he says, I'm not interested. He says, I'm so thankful for those things, and I'm glad God has prepared a place for us. But he says, when I'm there, I want to be near Christ. I want to be down at the throne. I want to spend all my days at his feet. That ought to be our focus, isn't it? Isn't it sad that when that New Jerusalem's coming down, Christ says, behold, I did this. Like they had to be reminded of what Christ has done. Behold, I make all things new. Let's pray tonight. Father, speak to our hearts and help us. And Father, we're so thankful for what you've done for us. We're thankful for heaven. We're thankful for the home you've prepared. Lord, we think tonight of those that have just recently gone home to heaven, and we're so glad that they're at peace and they're in the presence of Christ. But Lord, heaven would be absolutely nothing if it were not for you. Help us never to lose sight of the fact that it is Christ that has given us all things, that it is Christ that has made all things new, that it is Jesus that has done everything in our lives that will take us to heaven one day when we die. Father, may we never lose sight of that. Help us to remember Christ. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet tonight. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If God has spoke to your heart, would you step on and come?